This is episode 516 on the Hidden Why podcast with Maureen Zappala.
Welcome to the Hidden Why's 30-minute power segment. I am passionate about creating a lifestyle that minimizes suffering and regret. The purpose of life is not simply to survive, but to thrive, and I believe we do that by creating a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Each week, I will be delivering a 30-minute conversation with a guest expert on a topic that they are knowledgeable and passionate about, with the purpose to inspire and educate us all. I don't have all the answers. I'm simply trying to figure life out. And through greater awareness and understanding, I can put into practice what I learn to further my life's progression. I can't give you your life's map. I can't show you the way, but I can assist you in discovering your why. I can help you define your life's compass to guide you purposefully to act on and pursue your life's desires. And from there, watch happiness ensue. My guests are the experts. They are the people I learn from. They provide the inspiration, education, and methodology that we can all benefit from in better navigating the ultimate life. Without further ado, let the show begin. Today's feature guest is Maureen Zappala. The topic is imposter syndrome. Have you ever thought you don't deserve your success? Do you ever second guess your abilities? Would you like to be free from these crippling self-doubts? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you are in the right place. Our speaker is former engineer and was the youngest and first female manager of NASA's Propulsion Systems Laboratory, where she spent 13 years conducting jet engine research. She is now an author and award-winning speaker, as well as a mum of two. Like many successful people, perhaps even you, she battled with the internal voice that whispered, "You are not as smart as everyone thinks you are." She's since developed strategies to help you overcome that crippling voice. Here is Maureen with the imposter syndrome. Enjoy. G'day, Maureen. Welcome to The Hidden Why. How are you going?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. Great to have you here. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. My treat. My privilege.
So, Maureen, the topic today is imposter syndrome. I don't really know too much about it, but I have read snippets here and there. So tell us, Maureen, what is the imposter syndrome?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people may not have heard it called it, but once I explain what it is, these light bulbs go off and they say, "Yes, that's me. Now I know it has a name." But it's a cognitive distortion. That's probably the best way to describe it. We're really smart people. They're accomplished, successful, educated, influential. They have maybe a high-level position in the tech field, or they're creative experts or artists. They're managers, lawyers, physicians, accountants, educated, yet they walk into their job every day and they think, "Oh, wow, they don't know that I'm not as smart as they think I am." And my resume may say that I'm smart, but I'm not buying it. And not only am I not as smart as everybody thinks I am, I'm about a hiccup away from being found out as somebody who's faking it. And it's a syndrome, and I've lots of people struggle with it. Lots of people suffer with it. It's not really a syndrome, probably more of an experience or a condition or a mindset. But it is something that I heard that voice of that imposter every single day when I walked into work back in the 90s and the 80s and the 90s when I was an engineer for NASA. You know, a rocket scientist. I heard that voice every day that said, "You are not smart." Even though I was, you know.
Yeah, well, huge. I mean, you've got a incredible background. So you wouldn't see someone like yourself having that sort of inner voice questioning your moves, questioning your life, questioning who you were. So the imposter syndrome. It really is that inner voice, isn't it? It's just filling us with self-doubt.
Yeah, it is. And it's some people say, "Oh, yeah, it's a lack of confidence." But actually, it's quite different from a lack of confidence. It's more of a self-doubt. People that hear that imposter voice are, like I said, they're smart, intelligent, influential. They had the confidence to get to the position that they're in. They took the risk. They got the job interview. They took class. They took a step forward. So they had an amount of confidence to get to that point.
Yeah.
But then they reached the limit of that confidence, where then they start to doubt what actually got them there. So confidence is a fear of stepping forward. The doubt is looking backwards and doubting the credentials, the credibility of what you've accomplished.
Right, right.
I'm not a smart dude. I don't consider myself a smart dude either. But the show I do here, The Hidden Why, I get to speak to some amazing people. And I have that imposter syndrome certainly come in and yeah. You know, that self-doubt fill me saying, who am I to be speaking on this topic of personal development and you know, lifestyle design? So I definitely can relate to it. What does it mean to you, the imposter syndrome? Is that something that you obviously dealt with in your career?
Yeah, I like I said, I struggled with it back when I was an engineer at NASA,
yeah.
And I'm not in that field anymore. I left engineering. Oh gosh, back in the late 70s,
must
maybe.
Have been a big move.
Sorry, late 90s. I'm not that old. In the late 90s, and it wasn't until probably 10 years later. Long story, won't go into all the details, but I reflected back on my experience at NASA, and I thought, you know, why did they promote me? Why did they even hire me? Why did I get, you know, why did I have these issues of not being convinced of my own greatness? And it wasn't until I started reading and doing some research that I discovered what that was called, that it was called the imposter syndrome. And it's like, oh man, if I only knew then what I know now, you know, the technique I've actually, because I've developed techniques to help silence that voice, to turn down the volume, to you know, basically buoy up your, again, it's going back to a little bit of confidence, but buoy up your own belief that, yeah, you really are smart, you really are accomplished, and you can own your greatness. I wish I'd known then what I know now, these techniques, because they're so simple, yeah, they are, it's a intellectual discipline. You have to constantly remind yourself and constantly do these things to get over it. So, you know, of course, I think maturity comes into the picture. I think just simply getting older, experiencing more of life, it kind of calibrates what gets your undies in a bunch and what gets, you know, ruffles your feathers. You can own more of your greatness. You could expect that you have in the world. So maturity certainly is over. But boy, I wish I had known some of these techniques 25 years ago, 30 years ago, when I was in elbow deep and feeling this voice of condemnation.
Sorry, guys. Maureen, welcome back. So yeah, definitely I wanted to discuss those techniques that you've learned, Maureen, to deal with that. And I certainly think, you know, like anything that we practice, that we dedicate ourselves to, maturity is really a practice of life, isn't it? As long as we are trying to continually improve and progress, I think we do develop as we grow in our age, and we do mature in how we can handle that imposter syndrome that might come in. So definitely want to discuss that. Do you think the imposter syndrome is something that absolutely everyone deals to? I mean, you talk about professionals, people of education, etc. But do you think it's just relevant for everyone? We've all got that inner voice that speaks to us with doubt and you know, lack of confidence.
Yeah, it used to be back in the 70s, I believe, is when a pair of clinical psychologists identified this syndrome, and they put their name to it, imposter syndrome. And the people they were working with were primarily women, so they assumed that it was just a women-only type thing.
All right.
Well, of course, you know, 30-something, 40-something years later, it's not just women, it is men. But now it's looking like it's not just highly successful people, but it is everybody. I don't know. I don't know if it's everybody, because part of the life condition that people that suffer with this condition is that the job that they have tends to be very unscripted,
yep,
and unchoreographed. Every day it's sometimes very creative, definitely not the same old every single day. People that have the job that it's the same old, or very little variation, or very little day-to-day struggles or challenges, they tend not to hear that imposter voice, because the voice is triggered by, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do next.
Okay.
Well, if you have a job where you know what to do next, you don't ever hear that voice.
Okay. So it's sort of when I guess this is my next question of when it comes on, when it comes about, but it sounds like it's to do with the uncertainty that might be approaching, you know, the next moment based on, you know, the unfamiliarity with your job. Does that sound right? Is that a good way to encapsulate it?
Oh, yes, definitely. That's definitely the triggering inciting incident is, for example, you have a new project to start, or you have a new job assignment, or you're starting a new job, and you think, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. And so what happens is that people with imposter syndrome will react in one of two ways. They'll either over-prepare. I mean, they will just lose sleep, lose weight, lose attention to everything else. They're just going to knock everything out of the park. They're going to dot every I, cross every T, do everything they can to make sure that they don't fail, because fear of failure is a big driver. So they'll either over-prepare or they'll do the opposite. They'll say, oh, I'm not really sure what to do, so I won't do anything yet. And they wait and they put it off and they procrastinate until it's like the very last moment, or the last possible moment they can. And then they kick themselves into gear. They just look a lot like the over-preparer. They just, you know, whip themselves into a frenzy. And whether the over-preparer or the procrastinator, whichever approach that particular person takes, the end result is usually the same. They do a great job. And everybody is wowed. And, you know, there's applause and yahoo, this is great, you're amazing, I've never seen such, you know, great work, how did you do it, blah, blah, blah. And then the person sits back and says, ah, wow, that was close. They almost figured out I didn't know what I was doing. And what then happens is that it sets them up for, oh my gosh, I have to do it again. So they never get a chance to really enjoy their success. They never really enjoy just the pure joy of the work. It's this constant cycle of, oh, my God, I'll do everything I can, or I won't do anything until I have to, and then do everything I can, and then you did it well, and oh my gosh, I got to do it again. So it's
right. So is the imposter, is it actually a benefit to us then, like having this imposter syndrome? It sounds like it's for, you know, overachievers, people with a lot of drive, that probably come across, they push themselves into those challenging situations, and yeah, like you said, you know, they don't know what to expect and they procrastinate, they over prepare, and then they go into it and they, you know, they often nail it, but then they feel like they didn't do enough, so they want to go back and better it. Is that a benefit to, you know, really reaching our greater potential?
Yeah, you know what? These are the movers and shakers. They get stuff done. There's no doubt about that. That's definitely one of the upsides of this imposter syndrome, is that it does drive you to keep excelling, to keep achieving, to keep doing more. The downside is, aside from not being able to relax and enjoy it, it can cause you to be overworked, overstressed. You know, your relationships will suffer. So there's got to be a balance. So the part of solving this imposter experience is to recognize when you are acting out of trying to satisfy that drive. For example, let me try to think of a good example off the top of my head. Okay, here's a good example. I'm in the middle of finishing up a book. I live in Ohio. Ohio State football, big deal it's big deal in all of the United States, but it's especially in Ohio. I didn't go to Ohio State. Ohio State is not the topic about which I speak and train. I just have a huge interest in it. So I'm co-writing a book about the history of Ohio State football. And we are days away from sending it to the printer. Now, the imposter in me is saying, I don't know anything about history. I don't know anything about football. I don't know anything about Ohio State. What am I doing? I have no business writing this. So I better just really kill it. I better research it. I better, you know, really just nail this, just put everything in it. Well, I'm working with a co-writer who is an expert on Ohio State football. He's carrying the burden of, you know, the facts and the information, and I'm co-writing it with him, so I'm adding different aspects of it. Now, 10 years ago, if I had not understood what imposter syndrome is, I would have every day been working on this project with a pit, with, you know, a gnawing, nasty feeling in the pit of my stomach. I never would be happy. I would be so stressed out. But now I realize, you know what? I'm acting out of this imposterism. It's not entirely true that I know nothing about football. I love football. I'm just not an expert on Ohio State football. I went to University of Notre Dame. That's okay. Mm-hmm. I still love football. I can research well. I'm a good writer. I can work well with him. So the drive to do it well is still there because I want to produce a good product. I want the readers to really enjoy it. But it's not about quieting that passion or that fear in me. It truly is about giving the readers the best experience.
Yeah.
So the imposterism kind of drives me, but I have enough knowledge of what imposterism is to realize, okay, Maureen, it's just chill out.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good example. So you can really balance it out to allow the benefits of the imposter syndrome to drive you whilst, you know, reducing the unnecessary stress or pressure that you put on yourself created by the imposter syndrome. So that makes absolute sense. And I guess, you know, from my perspective, I guess everyone could benefit from just understanding how the imposter syndrome works a little bit better. What can you share with us as far as, you know, understanding when that imposter syndrome comes about and the techniques that you might have in dealing with them that you could share?
Yeah, that's a great question. Part of battling an enemy is knowing who the enemy is.
Yeah, well said.
So when I train people and give workshops on this, I go into great detail about what the symptoms of the imposter syndrome are. And, you know, I joke, my background is propulsion with NASA, so I can say I'm a rocket scientist. Well, this is not rocket science.
It's crazy.
I know.
I'd like to be able to say that. I'm a rocket scientist, but this isn't rocket science.
Well, you know, just means that when I do something stupid, you know, and somebody says, what are you, a rocket scientist? I could say, yeah.
Actually, I am. That's what makes this worse.
Yeah. So I go through a whole process of identifying the symptoms and, you know, that little cycle that I just mentioned about the over-prepare and procrastination, you know, that's one symptom. Another symptom is being afraid to fail. Well, yeah, we all want to, you know, and none of us really want to fail, but the imposter is like consumed with that. The imposter also has what's called the Superman, Superwoman complex. It's related to being a perfectionist, but it's more of an unwillingness to, or an inability, or however you choose it. I don't know. You pick your poison. Not delegating, not asking for help, thinking that it's all up to me. I'm the only one that can do it. Yep. I don't want to bother anybody to ask them for help. Or if I ask for help, that means I'm not that smart. So I cannot let people see that. So there's, you know, all these symptoms.
There's that vulnerability thing then. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's like your whole identity is wrapped up in your ability or your, credibility, I guess, of the extent of your knowledge, which is a lie. It's a lie. So when I have them identify these symptoms and they can pinpoint almost in the moment when they feel one of those symptoms crop up, like, oh my gosh, I'm afraid to ask for help. That must mean I'm hearing that imposter voice. So you identify the symptoms, and then the other steps that I walk people through is the power of, you know, is understanding the power of community. When I talk about this topic, and a couple of my favorite audiences to talk to would be tech audiences, computer programmers, engineers, mostly because they're my peeps. You know, I get them. I think like them. I can read them. But when I talk about it and I see, you know, in a room of 200 people, their eyes light up and their heads snap up, and then they all kind of, they sit up, and it's like, yes, they get it because they feel it. And then they look around and they realize, wow, yeah, I'm not the only one. Yeah, I thought I was, but I'm not. Mm. And so I talk about the power of community. When you verbalize it, when you understand you're not alone, oh my gosh, that diffuses the power of this imposter experience. So I drive home the fact that, get in community.
So those relationships, it's all about that, isn't it? I mean, you talk about the symptoms of, not being able to ask for help or feeling like that you can't express yourself or be open about things. And the solution to that is, the relationship, the community.
Yeah, it is. It's a community thing, but it's also believing that you are not the only one that feels this way. You don't have to sit around a circle and have a kumbaya and let's all talk about how we feel like fakes. We don't have to be like that.
Yeah.
But just recognize, you're not alone. You are not alone. Everybody else feels a little insecure, a little like they don't measure up. And, it comes down to like your background, your pocket of knowledge, your experiences, your expertise is all yours.
Yeah.
It's all yours. Now, mine is all mine, and Joseph's is all Joseph's, and we're all different. And in some cases, our experiences and everything, they all intersect.
Hmm.
They will intersect in some areas, but there's still some things that are wholly yours and only yours. And yet, we sometimes think that our little circle of knowledge is smaller than everybody else's, or not as significant as everybody else's, and that's not true. It's just different. It's just yours.
Yeah.
So once you realize that everybody has their little circle of knowledge and influence, and it's the exact right size for everybody, and you realize, oh, okay, then I'm not expected to know everything or be everything. I have to be happy with what I know, what I am, and where I fit.
Yeah. How do you go from, I often see, quite people that I'd admire and consider quite successful, and they, the ones that I really do like, they open up and they're very humble about their own experiences, and they will talk, like you are, about the imposter syndrome being real for them, that inner voice, the doubt, etc., the fears, and I sort of admire that, and I think, yeah, well, if they've got it, it doesn't matter, and it's comforting, but at the same time, you sort of wonder when you do start taking action and that imposter syndrome comes in, it sort of just all slips out the door anyway. Yeah, okay, I'm not alone, and other people feel it, but I really don't believe it. You almost think it's just them saying it for the sake of saying it, if that makes sense. Like, do you see that? You see what I'm saying?
I think I see what you're saying. Can you rephrase it? Because there was a lot of words in there.
Yeah, I think just when you look at other successful people who say, yeah, look, I have these same doubts and same fears, and I have my down days, all that sort of stuff. They all claim to have it, and we all do. I genuinely believe it, but I think still people that would see that and then still not be able to have the confidence in themselves to overcome their own imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That's a good – I see what you're saying. And I think it's – again, it comes back to not just a confidence issue. It is a belief issue.
Hmm.
It is a – you look at your resume, and it's almost like you're reading somebody else's resume.
Yep.
And you think, that's not really me, is it? Well, it's got my name on the top, but I remember being at that school and I remember working at that job, but surely they were wrong to hire me. You don't even believe the contribution you give. So one of the ways to help overcome that is, we all have received accolades, letters of thanks or recommendation, or, if we're fortunate enough to maybe have gotten awards or plaques or certificates or had news articles written about us or mention us or, whatever it is, anything. I tell people, save them, catalog them, and refer back to them. Go back and pull out all those thank you notes and those, letters of gratitude that people sent you. And not just pull them out, but read them and believe them.
Yeah, yeah. I think there'd be a lot of people out there that would be listening, perhaps listening to this, I'm not sure, perhaps not listening to this, and they'd be saying, yeah, but that's fine for you. I don't have those things. I don't have rewards. I don't have accolades. I don't have, thank you notes. And I'm sure if they dig deep enough and look closely enough at their past, they could find them.
Yep. But
what would you say to a comment like that?
Start with what you do have. If you have a diploma, go look at the diploma and say, you know what? They don't give these diplomas to just anybody. They gave diplomas to people who did the work. So you have to talk yourself into, I got the diploma, I did the work, I own that. Look at your work history. If you got hired for a job, there was a reason they hired you, and it wasn't just because they thought you had pretty hair. You know, it was a legitimate reason. They are not blown smoke when they say you're the right person for the job. Believe them.
Yeah, right.
Look at the pay stub that comes to your paycheck, that comes into your bank account every week. They're not just throwing money away. They're giving money to somebody who's doing the job.
So look for the positives and what you do have rather than thinking about what you don't have and what you're not.
Yeah. And then, you know, as far as like recommendations or accolades or, you know, that's when it's okay to go ask people, hey, what do you see in me that is positive and worthy of affirmation?
Mm.
Ask for it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's just you want to go to trusted people. You're not going to go to somebody who's just going to, you know, fake it.
Yeah.
But go to people that
Look for the evidence, I guess, that gives you that,
exactly,
that confidence boost that will allow you to take further action. And I guess there's that link between confidence and competence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another thing that worked, that was almost a changing point for me. Back when I was at NASA, I had a position where I was the director of a jet engine research facility, and it was a complicated and complex job. Well, I was getting ready to leave the position, and I was concerned for the person who was going to follow me. I just wanted to make sure that all of my knowledge got passed on to them. So I sat down and I wrote down everything that I did on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, and an annual basis. I mean, everything. I put down names of people, processes, point of contact, documents that needed. I put everything. I had 17 pages written out of my job description. Gave it to the person who followed me, and they were so appreciative. Great. Wonderful, happy. Well, probably 15 years later, I was moving from one house to another, and while I was packing, I found this document, and I read through it, and I thought, wow, I was good. I mean, I was like, gosh, I did a lot of stuff.
Mm,
and that's one of the things that I tell people,
yep,
is sit down and write out your job description. And be impressed with it.
Absolutely.
Because what you do is amazing.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it's often that the shift of focus that can really help us. Now, Maureen, I'm aware of the time, and look, I appreciate that there's probably a lot more depth to this topic of the imposter syndrome, and certainly I would encourage people to reach out to you and check out your work, because it sounds like you're heavily involved in this topic. So I will stick all the links in the show notes, guys. If you're interested in further researching this and connecting with Maureen as well, check out the Hidden Why show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. Maureen, just before we go, one final piece of advice. Why do you believe the imposter syndrome is important to be aware of and know about? And what's your final piece of advice for the audience?
I think it's important because so many of us don't take risks or chances or opportunities because we don't believe we are entitled to. And if we shut down that voice and start taking those risks and opportunities and chances, the doors that will open and the freedom that you'll feel and the ability to enjoy your own greatness will just change your perspective.
Hmm. Well said. And I think that's what it's all about here too, to encourage and inspire us to, you know, go about creating a life of greater freedom, fulfillment and happiness. And certainly by overcoming that imposter syndrome or just being more aware of it and how to deal with it can certainly help. So Maureen, I appreciate your time. Again, guys, check it out, thehiddenwhy.com. All the links to Maureen will be there. Maureen, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lee. It was great talking with you.
You too. Guys, check it all out, thehiddenwhy.com. Until next time, peace, passion and purpose. See you soon. Thank you for tuning in and listening to today's conversation. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've been able to take something away, something to help you create a more meaningful life, a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Guys, if you love the content that I produce here at The Hidden Why, there are a few ways you can support me. Firstly, connect with me. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can connect with me online at thehiddenwhy.com or via social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. I would love to hear from you guys. I would love to connect with you. If you've got any thoughts, comments, feedback, suggestions, or anything at all that you'd like to ask me, you can reach me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. While you're there, guys, make sure you subscribe to thehiddenwhy.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can be kept up to date with all the new episodes and happenings here at The Hidden Why. If you love what you heard in this episode, guys, or any of the others, please share the love. Share it with your family, friends, and anyone you think that might get some value. If you haven't already done so, you can also leave me a review on iTunes. Simply head over to iTunes, type in The Hidden Why, click the ratings and reviews button, and leave me a short message, plus a 1-to-5-star rating. It helps me reach more people. Once again, guys, I appreciate the time you've taken out of your day to support my show. Until next time, you know what to do. Breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why Podcast. My name is Lee Mundelsey. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.